Good afternoon, this is KTOO and I'm Clarice Larson. Juno may be getting a new city hall after all, but this time voters won't get to decide on whether to approve it. At a committee of the whole meeting on Monday, the Juno Assembly moved forward with a plan to purchase and renovate two floors of the Michael J. Burns Building, which houses the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation downtown. If approved by the Assembly at its next regular meeting later this month, it would become the new location for City Hall. In total, the cost to purchase and renovate would be upwards of $18 million. At the meeting, City Manager Katie Kester told members the city estimates the move and renovations will be cheaper in the long run than maintaining the city's current status quo.
It's not my dream situation. It's not my legacy. It's not anything like that. I just think that it's a very practical, fiscally responsible thing to do.
The current City Hall near Marine Park fits less than half of the city's employees and needs millions of dollars in repairs. The city rents other office space around town to house the rest of its staff. But city administrators say that's unsustainable and expensive. The city asked voters twice during recent municipal elections to approve bond debt to help pay for the construction of a brand new City Hall building. Voters said no both times. Now, the city has enough money set aside to purchase the floors in the Burns Building, which means it won't need to ask voters to approve any bond debt. The decision will instead go to the Assembly. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Gandies says she doesn't like the plan, but won't object to it.
This isn't what I wanted, but we do owe it to our community and to the folks who work for the city.
The Assembly is slated to take public testimony on the purchase of the floors and vote on it at its next regular meeting on Monday, September 22nd. Good afternoon, this is KTOO and I'm Clarice Larson. The union that represents support staff at the Juno School District is suing the district over its after-school child care program. Juno Education Support Staff, or JESS, filed a lawsuit on Monday alleging the district did not follow the necessary steps in union contract when it shut down the program last month. The union represents paraeducators, custodians, and employees for the Relationships and Leadership Learning for Youth program, known as RALLY. Auk Lake Preschool was the only private provider that stepped in to fill the gap. The Juno-based provider is leasing space at three elementary schools rent-free to run an after-school child care program called Auk Lake RALLY. That's been run by Auk Lake Preschool since September 2nd. The district's agreement with the union requires the district go through an investigation to see if it would be cheaper to contract out work that's normally done by JESS employees. That's followed by a report to the union. Superintendent Frank Hauser said in an email the district followed the terms of the contract and reassigned former RALLY staff to other district positions. Jeff Casper is a business manager for the Alaska Public Employees Association, the parent union for JESS. He says the district didn't view the lease as contracted work.
We've tried to work with them on this and ask them, where's the analysis? And they're just fold their arms and say, this isn't contracting out. So we feel this is an intentional and blatant violation of the contract.
The union asked the court to void the district's lease with Auk Lake Preschool and to require the district to continue running RALLY until it completes the formal investigation process. JESS is also pursuing damages for lost wages and work. That would be determined in a trial, and the union claims that could cost more than $100,000. The union also requested a temporary restraining order. It asked the court to prevent the district from passing the RALLY program to Auk Lake Preschool. Instead, the union is requesting RALLY employees remain at their negotiated positions until the lawsuit is resolved. But Auk Lake already started running the program earlier this month. Superintendent Hauser says RALLY employees have been reassigned to different positions in the district. Casper, with the union, says he could not speak to what would happen to the after-school program if the request is approved. The district issued an update on its website Wednesday that says Auk Lake Preschool will update families directly if there are any changes. Juno School District Chief of Staff Kristen Bartlett said in an email the district is working with its legal counsel to determine next steps. On Wednesday afternoon, she said, quote, "If the restraining order is granted, there will not be after-school childcare." The attorney representing the district declined to comment on the case Wednesday. And last year, the Klondike Road Relay got off to a late start when a tour bus crash delayed the race, forcing participants to skip the first few legs. This year, the event celebrated its biggest gathering ever, despite broken infrastructure and ongoing political tension. KHNS reporter Melinda Munson has more from the starting line of the race.
3, 2, 1!
This is the sound of the Klondike Road Relay starting in Skagway last weekend. Half party, half grueling mountain run, the 109-mile race stretches from downtown Skagway up the Klondike Highway, all the way to Whitehorse, Yukon. It retraces the steps of the gold miners, except these participants wear wild costumes, flashing lights, and are followed by support vehicles. One of those vehicles is an open trailer outfitted with a working hot tub. Julia Frost from Juneau almost missed this year's event. It's her first time running the relay. A mechanical issue on the Alaska Marine Highway system made her long journey even more challenging.
The LeConte broke down, so our three cars that we had booked could not come. So we scrambled yesterday and found one rental car and one Turo for an obscene amount of money, but we were coming, we were doing this.
So how much did that broken down ferry cost Frost's team?
The Turo was $1,300 and the rental was like $1,200, a lot. I mean, we're sharing it with 10 people, whatever, you know, it's the whole experience, so.
And Jean Johnson from Anchorage didn't so much want the Klondike Road Relay experience as much as her husband did not want to run two of the 10 legs. The couple flew to Juneau and made it to Skagway before the ferry mishap. But Johnson worried about how they'd get home to their two children if the vessel wasn't restored.
We have not had any official communication yet, but we're trying to start making some backup plans just in case it's not functional.
Johnson's teammate, Aaron Kravez, was less concerned.
It's okay. We got plenty of beer, so we're good.
For Yukoner Kirsten Madsen, the race was about restoring a relationship.
I definitely had some qualms as we were driving. I said, this is the first time I've crossed the border since Trump's election. And there have been other things that we didn't do so far this summer because of that. But this race and the kind of friendly feelings we have about Skagway made it an exception for me.
Madsen was part of Team Tiger Fire.
It's a bit random, but we've got some tiger ears and a bow tie and a tail that's affixed in a not quite accurate location, but it'll work.
Race coordinator Ryan Sykes says this is the biggest race ever at 2,000 entries sold. One team had to cancel because of the broken ferry. In Skagway, I'm Melinda Munson.
Sea shanties have been around for centuries, but in recent years, they've made a pop culture comeback. You can hear them all over TikTok or in the video game Assassin's Creed 4. But one man has been getting generations of people in Ketchikan to sing shanty songs for over 30 years. KRBD's Jack Darrell reports.
Once a month, you can hear the Alaska Fish House in Ketchikan from blocks away. People are singing and thumping on the long wooden tables. And a man named Greg Thomas is usually in the back, standing by the wood stove, singing the loudest. He leads these sea shanty nights. He's been doing it for a long time. So I met Thomas the day after one of these sea shanty nights. He was at the Ketchikan Yacht Club. It's a little floating clubhouse on the docks in Thomas Basin. Thomas grew up in Sydney, Australia. Spent some time in St. Louis, Missouri before coming to Ketchikan.
Came up here on a whim 30 years ago to do kayaking. Never left.
And Thomas brought the swashbuckling tunes with him. Seems like he can't help it. He says sea shanties are the love of their lives, him and his wife. He's traveled all over Southeast Alaska singing them.
You know how sometimes you get a song stuck in your head? I've had a song stuck in my head for 55 years.
That song is this old shanty he heard in the 1956 film adaptation of Moby Dick.
The opening, like the opening scene, is Richard Basehart goes into the inn to get his room, and he gets sucked into a sea shanty.
Since I've been my real wife in, I've no more with you.
Come on, lad. And in that scene, the sailors are in the bar. They all get up, and they're doing this, like, the traditional, you always think of a sailor dance. They're all doing that, you know, and singing. He gets sucked in. Come on, boy, you know, sing. And that has stuck with me forever.
A Rovin, that's the name of the song, is called a four-stroke pump shanty. Basically, old wooden sailing ships leaked constantly. You know, they were made of wood. So to keep them from sinking, guys had to spend hours on the deck pulling water up out of the inside of the ship with this big levered pump contraption. So the tempo of the song matched the rhythm of four guys pushing and pulling that lever over and over again. And Thomas says a lot of sea shanties are like that. Work songs that match the tempo of the repetitive work to be done on the high seas. But Thomas says that sea shanties aren't just about hauling levers and what one could possibly do with a drunken sailor. A lot of them were about class struggle, labor exploitation, like the classic According to the Act, an ode to an English politician named Samuel Plimsoll.
He could see the injustice of thousands of sailors would die because these huge companies would load up a ship so you couldn't fit anything else on it, and they would over-insure it because they knew there was a good chance it would sink.
So Plimsoll fought the corporate and political machine. He introduced this act that gave sailors rights and cargo limits. Thomas says Plimsoll was practically booed out of politics, died penniless after that.
I always introduce that song to let people know that a man did this. Thousands of people were dying, and people didn't care. The rich people of the world didn't care.
I know journalists are supposed to be unbiased and all that, but I also have a favorite sea shanty. It's a song Thomas always does at the end of the night at the fish house.
I thought I heard the old man
called Lever Johnny Lever.
Lever Johnny Lever.
This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.